Welcome to the July 16, 2020 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council. Before we get started, I'm going to ask our conference call moderator, Herb August, to provide instructions for members of the public about how the meeting will be conducted.
Thank you, Chairman Richko. Before I begin, can I ask Mayor Doherty to press star 9, please, so that we can identify him? Thank you. All members of the public will remain on mute throughout the meeting. However, there will be an opportunity to comment on certain resolutions following council discussion and a general public comment period at the end of the meeting. When it's time for public comment, Chairman Richko will make an announcement. At that time, members of the public wishing to speak should press star 9 on their telephones. Each caller will then be placed in a queue. When it is your turn to speak, I will identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number, and your line will be unmuted. Please begin your comments by providing your name and any organization that you are representing. When you are finished speaking, please indicate that you are done. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes, and members of the public are limited to 1 comment per resolution and 1 comment during the general public comment at the end of the meeting.
Thank you, Herb. For council members, we are doing this a little differently than last time. In an effort to minimize background noise, your lines will be muted by staff during the parts of the meeting where there are reports or presentations. When I call for a motion and second, and when it's time for council comment, your lines will be unmuted. I'm still going to ask you to mute and unmute yourselves during this time. So please be sure to keep your phone muted unless you are speaking to minimize background noise. Also, if council members wish to make a comment or ask a question, it is important to identify yourself before speaking. Please speak slowly and clearly so that everyone can hear the discussion and make every effort to refrain from speaking over each other. When you have finished speaking, kindly state that you are done. Annette, roll call, please.
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccia.
Here.
Tim Daugherty. Tim Daugherty.
Here.
Thank you. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis. Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Michael Sebetich.
Here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Thank you, Annette. Would you please also call the roll of Highlands Council staff and other colleagues that are present?
Lisa Plevin.
Here.
Christine LaRocca.
Here.
James Humphreys.
Here.
Carrie Green.
Here.
Gabrielle Gallagher.
Here.
Herb August.
Here.
Carol Dixon.
Here.
Tom Taglerini.
Here.
Lauren Nathan LaRusso.
Here.
Jason Kane.
Here.
Thank you.
Hey, Annette, will you please read the Open Public Meetings Act?
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6. The Highlands Council sent written notice of the time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted a notice on the Highlands Council website. Pursuant to the declared COVID-19 public health emergency and state of emergency, and in order to maintain recommended social distancing practices, the meeting is being conducted by means of teleconference. As stated in the public notice, any interested party may participate by telephone. The notice also advises that participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up to close of business on Friday, July 17th, 2020.
Thank you, Annette. Please join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America,
to the republic
for which it stands, one nation under God,
justice for all. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the June 18th, 2020 meeting. May I please have a motion and a second, and please remember to identify yourself as you are making the motion. Who would like to make the motion?
Council Member Vizzioli will make the motion. Done.
Okay, moved by Council Member Vizzioli. We need a second.
Mike Dressler, I'll second.
Mike Dressler seconds it. Is there any council discussion? Hearing none, Annette, please poll.
Councilmember Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis. Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Aye.
Councilmember Sepetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Vizzioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes. Thank you, Annette. Chairman's report. I have just one item that I wanted to note in my report. In early June, the New Jersey State Board of Education announced its new student learning standards incorporating climate change education across all content areas in kindergarten through high school graduation. The Department of Education website states that the addition to the curriculum was in response to, quote, the passion students have shown for this critical issue, unquote, and a desire to provide them with opportunities to develop a deep understanding of the science behind climate change and explore potential solutions. This initiative was spearheaded by First Lady Tammy Murphy, and New Jersey is the first state in the nation to implement such a standard. As a former educator, I am particularly pleased to see this, but I think we should all feel a great sense of pride to be part of such a forward-thinking state. And with that, I'll turn things over to Lisa Plevin for the Executive Director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Was there anything else? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Nope. Chairman. Hello?
Yes, Lisa, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Highlands Council office in Chester continues to remain closed in support of Executive Order 104. However, all staff members remain fully functional and working remotely. Operations continue without interruption. Regarding an update on climate resilience, on June 30th of this year, Governor Murphy and the DEP issued the 2020 New Jersey Scientific Report on Climate Change, which will allow us to better understand the effects climate change will have on New Jersey and to develop a statewide climate resilience strategy. Highlands Council staff provided significant input on this issue, resulting in a report that includes significant analysis of issues that will directly affect the Highlands region. These issues include flooding, drought, increased frequency and intensity of storms, agricultural viability, invasive species and pest management, water and wastewater system, and impacts on other critical infrastructure. The report provides Highlands Council staff with a crucial baseline from which to expand our research and implement necessary adjustments to our policies and programs to ensure a healthy, vibrant, and resilient future for the Highlands region. Regarding plan conformance petitions, Parsippany's petition for plan conformance was deemed complete on July 6th. The township needs to respond to our draft review, and following that, the petition will be posted for the 30-day public comment period. Regarding municipally issued exemptions, since my prior report, the Highlands Council has been notified of 16 municipally issued exemptions, all in Washington Township and all exemption number fives. For project review updates, staff has completed one water allocation permit modification review related to maintenance issues at a quarry in Pohatcong Township in Warren County. Highland staff determined there to be no impact on net water availability, so the modification was found to be consistent with the regional master plan. Staff initiated three new water quality management plan amendment reviews, one for a proposed residential project in Franklin Borough of Sussex County, one for a combination of residential and commercial development in Chester Borough, Morris County, and one for a residential development in Mine Hill Township, Morris County. All three of these reviews are still in progress. Additionally, staff provided comments to the New Jersey Department of Transportation on the potential historic and cultural impacts of a DOT project in Wharton Borough and Rockaway Township. Consistent with the findings of the New Jersey Historic Preservation Office, Highland staff found no expected impacts to historic or cultural resources. On the open space front, in late June, the Highlands Council closed on a farmland preservation project in Franklin Township, Warren County. The nearly 400-acre Hart Farm had been a preservation target for Warren County for many years. The Highlands Council provided nearly half the $1.3 million purchase price. The project marked a significant milestone for Warren County as the 300th farm preserved in the county. And Warren County holds the distinction of having the most preserved farms and most total preserved farmland acreage of any Highlands County. On the TDR and HDC front, since last month's report, staff closed on a 103-acre residential property in Mount Olive Township, Morris County. The HDC bank purchased 35.75 HDCs for $572,000. And I just want to flag an important note about this transaction. As of this closing, there are no additional pending HDC transactions waiting to close. And finally, staff continues to provide guidance to landowners and their representatives regarding the New Jersey DEP Highlands Area Rules and the Regional Master Plan. And our next council meeting is scheduled for August 20th. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm going to ask the moderator to unmute the council members in case any council members have any questions for the executive director.
Done.
Do any council members have any questions for the executive director? Okay. Hearing none. Next on the agenda is the consideration of the motion to stay Highlands Council Resolution Number 2020-03, filed with the Highlands Council by DPF Chester LLC. I'm going to ask James Humphreys, Director of Planning and Science, to provide us with the background on this resolution.
Thank you, Chairman Richko. I thought it would be helpful to provide some history on Chester Borough's plan conformance activities and the procedural steps that led to the stay request that's being heard at this meeting. Chester Borough is located entirely within the planning area where plan conformance is voluntary. The borough originally submitted a petition for plan conformance back in 2008, but did not actively pursue plan conformance activities at that time. Chester Borough officials re-engaged with Highlands Council staff in 2014 to continue working on plan conformance. In October of 2015, after meeting with Highlands Council staff for 2 years, the borough adopted a resolution reaffirming its intent to proceed with plan conformance. The borough stated that one of the primary reasons it was pursuing plan conformance was to address wastewater treatment improvements. The borough submitted a petition for plan conformance to the Highlands Council, and it was approved by the Highlands Council in July of 2016. During the 2015 to 2016 period, Chester Borough was involved in affordable housing litigation involving a property in the borough referred to as the Turkey Farm property. The Highlands Council was not a party to that litigation, but as part of this settlement, Chester Borough committed to seek Highlands Council approval of a center designation or other appropriate mechanism that would allow the affordable housing development that the parties agreed to in the settlement. Chester Borough submitted a Highlands Center Designation Feasibility Report to the Highlands Council on October 3rd, 2019, with a request that the Highlands Council amend the previously approved petition for plan conformance to include a Highlands Center that covered the entire borough. Highlands Council staff drafted a consistency review and recommendations report and Highlands implementation plan and schedule, which addressed implementation actions and funding needs relating to the amended petition. A public notice was posted with the revised petition materials on the Highlands Council website for public review and comment on November 15, 2018. No comments were received during the 30-day comment period. The Highlands Council approved the amended petition with center designation at its meeting on January 16, 2020, by Resolution 2020-03. Subsequently, an entity called DPF Chester LLC filed an appeal of the Highlands Council approval of the resolution in the Appellate Division. Chester Borough is also a respondent in this appeal. On February 28, 2020, the appellant, DPF Chester, sent a letter requesting that the Highlands Council stay its implementation of the amended petition and center designation pending the outcome of that appeal. It is this stay request that the Highlands Council will decide on at this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. The attorneys for DPF Chester LLC and Chester Borough have been offered an opportunity to make a brief statement to the council. At the conclusion of the attorney's statements, I will ask for a motion to enter executive session so that our Deputy Attorney General can provide us with legal guidance for deliberation of the resolution, which will happen in public when we return. You will also have an opportunity after we return from executive session to ask the attorneys representing DPF and Chester Borough any questions you may have. There will also be an opportunity for public comment. At this point, I will ask the attorney representing DPF Chester LLC if he or she would like to make a brief statement to the council. The statement is limited to no more than 3 minutes. Is the attorney representing DPF Chester LLC on the line?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, John Wisniewski, Wisniewski and Associates representing DPF Chester.
Thank you. Would you like to make a statement?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The council has received our written...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The council has received our written argument as the justifications for requesting the stay, so I won't go through that in detail. But just to summarize, this request is being made as part of our appeal. We did appear on January 16, 2020 before the Highlands Council and provided our comments about Resolution 2020-03 and the objections we had to the adoption of that resolution. In the narrative that we were provided, that seemed to have not been mentioned, and I just wanted to make sure all the council members know that we did provide comments prior to, verbal comments prior to the adoption of that resolution, and we submitted those comments in writing to be part of the record. Without this stay, my client will suffer irreparable harm through the implementation of the settlement agreement that was dependent on the application and the approval of a Highlands Center designation. One of the standards in looking at whether or not to grant a stay is whether or not there's a reasonable probability of success. There are a number of factors that weigh in on that. First, the Highland Council resolution approving the borough's amended petition needs to be set aside because it was adopted after the borough had omitted material information for the council's submission. In other words, all of the facts that were relevant for the council determination were not in front of the council in order for it to make an informed decision. Further, the council's resolution approving that amended petition was arbitrary and capricious because the application the borough submitted did not meet the council's own requirements for Highland Center designation. Additionally, the Highlands Council resolution approving the amended petition should be set aside because the actions taken and the items not considered violate the legislative policies that underpin the reason why the Highlands Council was created in the first place and the policies the council was to implement. Finally, the council's failure to provide sufficient time for public comment and the possibility that one of the council members may have had a conflict of interest warrants setting aside the resolution, especially in light of its passage by only the minimum number of votes permitted by the council's enabling statutes. One of the issues, and the final issue that needs to be considered, is relative hardship. This matter, as the narrative you were provided at the outset indicates, has been going on for a very long time. The amount of time that would be taken by this appeal is minuscule in comparison. Further, maintaining the status quo will protect the environment and the historic structures that could be lost if the status quo is not implemented. For those reasons, we ask the council to stay the effectiveness of Resolution 2020-03.
Thank you, Mr. Wisniewski. Is the attorney representing Chester Borough on the line?
Mr. Chairman, we were unable to identify the attorney. If the attorney is on the line at this time, can you please press star 9?
All right, has anyone from...
Yes, this is Brian Mason on behalf of Chester Borough.
Okay, would you... Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay, you were going to say something.
My understanding is that you have declined the opportunity to make a statement to the council. Is that correct?
A full presentation, that's correct.
Okay. Do you have anything that you would like to say or add to?
Yes, just very briefly, fully understanding the 3 minutes. I want to thank the council for the opportunity to participate. I trust that there has been adequate time to review the submissions. And if there are any questions, I'm more than happy to answer any of the questions any of the council members might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. We will probably, if there's any questions, that will be after our executive session. So at this time, I would like the council members to enter executive session so that our Deputy Attorney General can provide us with legal guidance for deliberation of the resolution. Chief Counsel LaRocca will now read the executive session resolution into the record.
Thank you, Chairman Richko. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6 et sequitur, permits the holding of closed sessions by public bodies in certain circumstances, and the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council is of the opinion that those circumstances presently exist, and whereas the council will discuss litigation matters within the meaning of NJSA 10:4-12b7, now therefore be it resolved that the council may enter into closed session at its public meeting of July 16, 2020 for that purpose. It is anticipated at this time that the nature of the closed session will be made public upon completion or resolution of the issues to be discussed, except any matter protected by the attorney-client privilege will not be disclosed. This resolution shall become effective upon a roll call vote of the council.
Thank you, Christine. May I have a motion and a second on the resolution to enter executive session?
This is Bruce James. I'll move it.
Moved by Council Member James. Who would like to second it?
Bob Holtaway, I'll second the motion.
Okay, seconded by Council Member Holtaway. Let's see. Well, we have a motion and a second to enter executive session. Is there any council discussion? Hearing none, Annette, please poll on the motion to enter executive session.
Council Member Alstead.
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis? Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Richko?
Yes.
Thank you.
I will now temporarily close the public portion of the meeting. Members of the public, the council members will now leave this call. If you could please remain on the line, you will be notified when we return to the meeting. Council members are asked to dial into the conference call number that was provided to you in your meeting instructions and emailed again to you this morning. We will take a roll call when the executive session begins. Council members, please hang up and dial that number now. If a council member is having difficulty, please call or text the executive director at 201-208-4311. I repeat, that number is 201-208-4311. Members of the public may stay on the line, and our moderator will notify you when we are returning. Okay, so we are now going into executive session. Thank you. Okay, everyone, I am now reopening the public portion of the meeting. Annette, can I get a roll call to ensure that all council members have rejoined the call?
Kurt Alstead.
Here.
Tracy Carluccio.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
Present.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis. Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
I'm here.
Carl Richko.
Here.
Michael Sevetich.
I'm here.
James Vizioli.
Here.
Richard Bowden.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Okay, Robert Walton. Okay, we will wait and see if he joins us. Just let us know, moderator, when he does return.
I will do so.
Jim, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Yep. Moderator, it looks like Rob Walton has raised his hand.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm back.
Okay.
I was
okay.
I'm muted.
All right, and I know James Vizioli needs to leave the meeting and will try to rejoin us from his cell phone. Is that correct, Councilman Vizioli?
I am on the cell phone as we speak.
Okay, very Ooh. Good. Thank you very much. Okay, now, in executive session, the council received legal advice from our Deputy Attorney General concerning the legal standard for issuing a stay and applying the facts presented to us by DPF Chester LLC and Chester Borough to that standard. Based on that advice, I would like to move a resolution into the record denying the stay request. May I have a motion and a second to deny the request for a stay made by DPF Chester LLC? By adopting this resolution, the council will also be approving an order drafted in consultation with the Attorney General's office that was in the member meeting packets. Please remember to unmute your phone and identify yourself as you are making the motion. So we need a motion and a second on this resolution. Who would like to make the motion?
A little bit. It's Bruce James.
Moved by Council Member James, seconded by?
Holtaway.
Council Member Holtaway, second. So we have a motion and a second. But at this time, the council will have an opportunity to deliberate on the resolution. I want to remind council members that this discussion is not a rehashing of the original resolution to approve the amended petition for plan conformance with center designation. This discussion must remain sharply focused on the standards for the motion to stay. Do any council members have questions or comments? I think all the council members are unmuted, so just please remember to state your name and indicate that you would like to make a comment. So who would like to make a comment at this time or have a question.
Mr. Chairman, Bob Holtaway.
Yes, Councilmember Holtaway.
Question for Mr. Humphreys. One of the extensive comments or areas of comment by the applicant is that they contend that the report that we relied on was incomplete and sections were missing. Could I have your response to that?
Mr. Holtaway, I don't believe the report was incomplete. I think it complied with every aspect of rank conformance procedures that the council adopted in 2019, and specifically related to the standards for assembly designation. I feel that the report the council reviewed and ultimately adopted with the resolution showed that the center designation complied with all the standards.
And one follow-up is the affordable housing portion of this considered an inherently beneficial use?
It generally is. I don't want to comment on the specifics of that site because I'm not sure of the inclusionary percentage of that site that could relate to its determination as an inherently beneficial use. But nevertheless, the affordable housing was part of the settlement agreement that required the center designation.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments from the council? Just a reminder that this is council comment only. We will have a public comment shortly. Any other council members would like to comment or have a question on this resolution?
Richie Bowden.
Okay, yes. Council member Bowden, go ahead.
Am I correct in saying that voting to deny the stay, we're saying that the council made a right decision in the original resolution, and now we're voting to prevent the landowner from appealing the previous that previous decision. Is that correct?
I'm going to ask our chief counsel, LaRocca or Jason Kane, to handle that, to respond to that.
Sure. This is Christine. The motion that, or the resolution that is before the council to deny the stay doesn't have any bearing on the underlying council decision. What it means is that the council has considered the legal standard for the stay and decided that the appellant, DPF Chester, did not meet that legal standard for the stay request. It doesn't mean that the council is making any determination on the underlying petition. Does that answer your question, Mr. Bowden?
Yes, but our vote to deny the stay will prevent the landowner from appealing the case to go any further. I believe all property owners should have the opportunity to pursue through the appeal process. This would stop the appeal process.
No, it would not. All appellant DPF Chester, if the council votes to deny the stay, could make a similar application to the appellate division for injunctive relief, and has every opportunity to proceed with the litigation and the appeal of the petition.
If we don't deny the stay, where will this case go forward? How will this case go forward?
The underlying case in the appellate division will proceed. All it will mean is that in the interim period, Chester Borough will not be able to take any steps towards implementation of the underlying petition. And it also means that the Highlands Council will be prevented from any implementation steps. But the litigation itself will proceed.
Any other council members have any questions or comments? Okay. Okay, hearing none, we will now open comments for members of the public on this resolution only. Herb, please remind members of the public how to comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the public wishing to speak should press *9 on their telephones and wait to be called on. I will identify you by the last four digits of your telephone number, and your line will be unmuted. Please begin your comments by providing your name and any organization that you are representing. When you are finished speaking, please indicate that you are done. As a reminder, all of your comments are limited to 3 minutes. So you can press *9 now if you wish to make a comment on this resolution.
Herb, do we have anyone at this time that would like to speak from the public?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have the last four digits are 1079. I am unmuting your phone now.
Okay, 1079, please state your name for the record.
My name is David Shope.
Yes, Mr. Shope, you may proceed.
I'm a little confused here. I have before me something that Mr. Wisniewski submitted, and it includes the settlement agreement, which is October 4th, 2018, and it talked about finding a site for the new sewer plant, which was raised initially by as a primary concern in the Mason Thompson LLC presentation, as a primary concern, a paramount concern, has long been the borough's inability to provide sewer capacity to all residents. The current waste treatment plant is aging and in need of repair and is operating at capacity, leaving many septic systems and so on. So the primary concern presented by Mason Thompson was these poor residents whose septic systems are failing, a sewer plant that is overwhelmed. And then when I go to the actual settlement agreement dated October 4th, 2018, the primary concern of the borough, and I'm citing paragraph 3.2, the borough's primary consideration in exchange for this agreement is the production of affordable housing. And 3.2 says quid pro quo, and it doesn't say anything as a primary concern about affordable housing or cleaning up the mess that the antiquated wastewater treatment system that exists in the borough. So it's just, I just don't get it. You guys really didn't look thoroughly into this. Otherwise, you would have asked the same questions. What is the borough's primary concern or paramount concern? Call it whatever you want. Number one concern. I can cite two. So that's my comments. Chew on it.
Okay.
I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Shope, for your comments. Moderator, do we have anyone else in the queue?
There's no one in the queue, but I would like to remember the members of the public to press *9 if you wish to be heard at this time. Mr. Chairman, I do have an additional person. The last four digits of the phone number are 5011. I am unmuting you now.
Okay, phone number 5011. You are unmuted. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, this is George Kassam. I would like to agree with Mr. Shope to the extent that the basis for the request for a stay on the part of the developer is somewhat confusing to me, in that the settlement is an agreement between the borough of Chester and Fair Housing Center, and does not necessarily represent the entire picture as has been laid out in the Highland Council's own consistency determination and recommendation report. It seems to me that the developer wants to rely on certain provisions of the settlement that he believes aren't consistent with that Highland Council's report, and it comes down to the question of whether the fair share housing settlement is still binding on the borough after it has been reviewed by the Highlands Council. The council is a legally constituted state agency with a duly appointed membership, and I submit that the 2015 Supreme Court decision, Mount Laurel 4, does not give Fair Share Housing Center exclusive authority to waive any provisions of the Highlands Act or even represent to a municipality that they can do so, especially where they're related to the Fair Housing Act provisions in the Highlands Act and subsequent executive orders affecting the Highlands Act. Therefore, I support the council's decision to deny the applicant's request for stay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. Moderator, anyone else in the queue?
Mr. Chairman, I do not see anybody in the queue now. I would like to remind members of the public, it is star 9, and you may hit star 9 at any time when we open the lines like this, which will develop the queue. There is an additional person right now. The last four digits are 4934. Mr. Chairman, I am unmuting them now.
Okay, phone number 4934, you are unmuted. Please state your name for the record.
Hi, Mr. Chairman. This is Elliot Ruga speaking for the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. And I guess it helps to press star 9 rather than pound 9 if you want to be heard.
You figured that out. Finally,
yes. The question at hand is whether to stay the Highlands Council's resolution approval of Chester Borough's amended petition for plan conformance granting Chester Borough's center designation, while an appeal is underway challenging the center designation by a property owner who is concerned they may lose a commercial tenant if a development contemplated by the redevelopment plan is constructed. Having reviewed the center designation plan, we feel it is an appropriate plan that protects Highlands environmental resources, rectifies longstanding septic failures, incorporates smart growth principles and low impact design. We agree with the petitioner, who I believe is represented by a former assemblyman, on one point, however, and that is the loss of historic resources. We don't believe this alone should allow the state to move forward. The Highlands Council Conformance Program has not been responsive to the Highlands resource protection aspects of the Highlands Regional Master Plan and the Highlands Act, which will allow the loss of significant connections with our past in conforming municipalities. The Chester Borough Center Designation Plan should require consistency with the state eligible Chester Historic District, which incorporates all of Chester Borough downtown, plus the Turkey Farm and Sunnyside parcels. That the proposed development contemplates incorporating the Turkey Farms building's hand-hewn beams into the new restaurant is a step in the right direction and may in fact satisfy mitigation requirements of a Section 106 review. The Highlands Council should require the historic character of the landscape be maintained in the new development, and that the borough's historic preservation ordinances be reviewed for consistency with the regional master plan and revised as warranted. However, as I said earlier, this alone should not justify a stay of Resolution 2020-03. And those are my comments, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Elliot, for your comments. Anyone else would like to address the council on this resolution? Mr. Moderator, anyone else in the queue?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Number 5468, I am unmuting you now.
Okay, phone Phone number 5468, you are unmuted. Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Wilma Fry, F-R-E-Y. Presently on leave from New Jersey Conservation Foundation for personal reasons. I would like to agree with what Mr. Ruga just was saying about the protection of the historic resources and the historic character of the borough. And I would like to add an additional point, which is sort of an urban design point, that even the historic aspects may not fully recognize, which is the spatial aspects of the way the current Turkey Farm building has a large open space, which adds an elegance to that intersection of the two major roads, Main Street and 206. And I'm not entirely familiar with the site plan, but my impression is that that space would probably be removed. And I think every effort should be maintained to maintain that space and actually to reuse the historic structure, which is done in many cases, reusing the historic structure rather than tearing it down. It's appropriate for affordable housing. So I think that that is another aspect that should be reviewed and perhaps modified in the site plans. Thank you.
Thank you, Wilma. Herb, are there any other members of the public that would like to address the council on this resolution?
There are, Mr. Chairman, and I'd also like to bring your attention that Mr. Francis has joined the meeting.
Okay, very good.
The next number on the list, Mr. Chairman, is 3664. You are unmuted.
Okay, phone number 3664. You're unmuted. Please state your name for the record.
Yes, thank you. This is Edward Ng. I'm president of the Chester Historical Society. And I would like to build on some of the points that the previous two speakers, especially Elliot, has made. And I'm in writing with regards to historic buildings and a mention of the Chester Historical Society on page 5 of Mason Thompson LLC's letter, memorandum to Christine LaRocca of March 25, 2020. The first point, because a building is not listed on the National Registry of Historic Places, that does not mean it is not historic. Registration requires advocacy and support of the owners, which was not forthcoming for the two buildings in question. However, Sunnyside and the Isaac Corwin House, which is also known as Larson's Turkey Farm Inn, have been recognized as historic by three different entities at the county, state, and federal level. One, both are on the Morris County Historic Site Survey. Two, the New Jersey State Historic Preservation Office opinion states that the Isaac Corwin House is eligible for the National Registry of Historic Buildings and that Sunnyside could be if more information were forthcoming. And at the federal level, three, the Isaac Corwin House was only one of three buildings in Chester listed and documented in the 1933 Historic American Building Survey. Second point, there was reference to an unsafe structure in the Mason Thompson letter. The unsafe structure, which is mentioned on page 5, is the historic house known as Sunnyside. A reasonable observation is that the structure is unsafe due to demolition by neglect. This building was offered to the Chester Historical Society, but too late for us to meet the application deadline for a Morris County Historic Preservation Grant, which we had been working on. So we had to decline the offer. Third point, with regard to Chester Borough's ordinances for historic preservation, architectural review for Sunnyside and the Isaac Corwin House, the Chester Historical Society has pleaded for preservation of the Chester Borough Land Use Board at many of their meetings, and we have not been successful. Development has trumped adaptive reuse and preservation of these historic buildings. I believe the ordinances with respect to private property are inadequate to prevent demolition of Chesterboro's historic assets and need to be amended. So I would agree with the last speaker, or previous speakers, to say that as part of the conditions for going ahead with this, with the center designation, is a review of Chesterboro's historic preservation ordinances. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Edward. Anyone else is in the queue?
Mr. Moderator? Chairman, at this time, I don't see anybody in the queue.
Okay, I think by this time they would have hit a star nine, so I will close the public comment on this resolution. Before we vote, do council members have any further comment or question? Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just make a quick comment. This is Holtaway.
Yes, Member Holtaway.
You know, looking at this, the a lot of the harm that was brought out in the applicant's letter was about the, excuse me a second, I have a low battery, I got to change phones. Stand by 1 second. Was the harm, were the issues that left out of the report, testimony from our staff is that that was included, and it was, the report was complete. The chances of success, I think, are low. And again, the hardships that were brought forth are not necessarily to the client. And even though there are hardships that he will suffer, I don't think it rises to the level of a stay, and I will be voting to support the resolution. Thank you.
Any other council members have any comments before we vote? Okay, hearing none. Annette, please poll.
Council member Alstead. Council member Alstead?
Yes.
Council member Carluccio?
Yes.
Council member Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Abstain.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Savatich?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Vodin?
No.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Richko?
Yes. Motion passes 9-2 and one abstention. Thank you all. Thank you to the attorneys and our Deputy Attorney General and everyone else. And now we move on to old and new business. Does any member of the council? Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Council Member Vizioli here. I'm going to have to sign off, but unfortunately, I have to sign off. But thank you all. Appreciate the input.
Thank you, Council Member Vizioli. Thanks for hanging in there.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a good night.
You too. Okay. Does any member of the council have old or new business they would like to discuss? Anyone? Okay, hearing none, we will now open the meeting for any general public comments. Herb, will you please provide instructions for the public for this public comment period?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Like before, members of the public wishing to speak should press the star button and then the 9 on their telephones. Each caller will then be placed in a queue, and when it is your turn to speak, I will identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number, and your line will be unmuted. Please begin your comments by providing your name and any organization you are representing, and when you're finished speaking, please indicate that you're done. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes, and please be advised that if you go over the 3-minute limit, you may be placed on mute. At this time, please press star 9 if you wish to make a public comment.
Is there anyone in the queue?
Mr. Chairman, I have number 4723. I am unmuting you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phone number 4723. Please state your name for the record.
Carl, Hank Klump, Highlands participant or land loose operative. I want to comment on the new stuff for the schooling as for the funding and to for climate change and all that going through the school system. I was very surprised, and I was glad that you got behind that also. But maybe you can, and so could the governor's wife also, maybe she could really look into whatever happened to the funding that was passed, that did not pass or somehow disappeared after the act was passed. So maybe somebody could look into that and find out where the monies is for this. It would be greatly appreciated. I'm one of the harm landowners here, and it's tough to keep going, you know, but we keep plugging it out. But the other thing, the system, I don't know, I kind of miss it. I'm worse off now than I ever was, because you're not knowing really the English read. I'm not on a computer that much, you know, that's my style. But I don't know whether possible if you could send me a copy of the same stuff that gets laid out on the bench in where we come in on the left side there for pre, so that I can see what's really going on and make comments that are legitimate. So I don't know whether that's possible or not, but I would really appreciate it, because I'm not on that computer thing near that much, so it doesn't work out too well for me. But if it's too hard to do that, I could stop by the Hanson Council and pick it up if you put it in a mailbox out front or something like that. So I appreciate this. Keep slugging away there. I don't know where we're going with this, but God bless you. Everybody stay healthy. That's all I got to say. And I'm signing off.
Okay, Hank, before you sign off, please call our executive director, Lisa Plevin, and discuss that as far as being able to get the information for the agenda. I don't know if it would be possible before, but I'm sure she could arrange that the information we had for today could be sent to you. So please call her at the regular number.
I really appreciate that. I mean, I can go over there and pick it up if they can put it outside, you know, because really I'm at a loss as to comment on this stuff.
Call Lisa and she'll work it out with you.
Okay, I thank you very much. Thanks
thank
again.
You, Hank.
Stay safe.
Okay, you too. Anyone else in the queue?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the number 1079. I am unmuting you now.
Okay, please state your name for the record.
My name is David Shope, and a couple of things I would like to bring to your attention. Both were articles in Lancaster Farming from February of this year. One is entitled, "As Nationwide Farm Bankruptcies Increase, Virginia Holds Steady." And then it goes on to just say what's happening in the farming community, and with tough times in community commodity prices and all the other issues that farmers have to deal with. And they're going bankrupt. Simple as that. And then an associated article, "Growing Stress Affecting Farmers' Health." And that goes again back to bankruptcy and other stresses that confront people who farm. And it's affecting their mental health. So, and I would like to just say that this state in particular is doing that in spades. So if you want to assume the burden of increased agricultural bankruptcies and the mental health of the people who own and work on them, along with the equipment dealers and so forth who were affected by this, I would say that would be a good application to the make to the legislature so they can draft the legislation to help mitigate the mess that they have made. And that's all I have to say. Adios.
Thank you, Mr. Shope, for your comments. And anyone else in the queue?
Mr. Chairman, I don't see anybody else in the queue at this time. Just a reminder, it is *9 if you wish to make a comment.
Okay, we will wait 10 seconds. If we don't have anyone else, then we will move to adjourn. Okay, Herb, no one else?
Mr. Chairman, I don't see anybody else wishing to make a comment at this time.
Okay, I will close the public comments. And before we adjourn, I would like to thank the council members, staff, and members of the public for your participation in today's meeting. Please stay safe, everyone. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved by Councilmember Holtaway.
Second.
Second by Councilmember Walton. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. The July 16, 2020 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council is now adjourned.